We're continuing now our study of Reb Simcha Zissel of Kelm, the Altar of Kelm. Let's just review the last part of what we discussed about Avas HaBrios, and this was on page 166 in Tenuat HaMusar, Chelik Beis, and the centrality of Avat HaBriot, of Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero, in the worldview of Reb Simcha Zissel cannot be overestimated. He talks about the relationship, if you recall, between Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero and Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Mokom. And this is going to come up over and over again in his writings. And we spoke about the root of all evil as Avas Atzmo, his love for himself, which pushes a person and distances him away from Hashem. So too, on the flip side, Avas HaBrios is the derech that leads him back to Avas Hashem. The only way of getting close to Hashem is through Avas HaBrios, and the Chachom already have determined that there's no possibility for mortal man to be close to Hashem unless he's dovek in the midos of Hashem. He clings, he imitates. And this is what we discussed last week, that it's clear that of all the midos that we can achieve and emulate God, it's Avas HaBrios. That's at the center of it all. That's the hub. And therefore, if you take a look at the chasadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the compassion, all the goodness that God bestowed upon the creation. Tov Hashem l'kol v'rachmav al kol ma'asav, posech tziyodech masbil chol chai ratzon. We have to imitate Hashem. We have to work hard in order to be tokea b'libeinu, in order to make sure it's absolutely penetrating into our hearts, the love for the creatures, for all creations. And the most successful person in the world who can be close to Hashem, and the greatest success of being close to Hashem is to be similar to Hashem. Misha oev hu meitiv im habrios, hareyu miskarev al Hashem misdabikbo. If he loves the creatures, then he gets close to Hashem. And therefore, Reb Simcha Zissel explains that there's a logical premise here, that the nature of man is to love he or a being who gives him and he receives from him. That's Teva Ha'odom. And therefore, the person who you perceive as giving to you, that's the person you love the most. In the case of God, God gives you and therefore you love him. In the case of Avas HaBrios, one person gives to the other. And that's how we create love. And he writes that Hoya Choviv Bienai Meodki Hikarti Ma'at Rochev Binoso. He speaks about Rabbi Sol Salanter and the love that he has for and the awe that he has for Rabbi Sol Salanter. And he says that he always wanted to emulate Rabbi Yisrael. Hikarti ma'at mi rochev binos v'chachmos v'yiros. Ratzisi ma'od lihidamos elav. I always wanted to be similar. The more you recognize and appreciate the greatness of someone, the more you want to be similar to him and imitate him. And this is the expression of the fundamental love, a chavivus, that a person has to have an admiration for another person. And that's going to serve as a central way of being similar to Hashem, of being dovek b'midos, of clinging and imitating God's traits, to love the brios, to bestow good on them. That is the greatest expression of love, of connecting to Hashem. And the connection between Avas HaBrios and serving Hashem is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And the last thing that we discussed was that Chazal always emphasized that service of a king has to be a unity of his avadim nemanim, those who are loyal to him. If amongst those who are loyal to the king there is piru, there is friction, and one is alienated from the other, then that's not melucha, that's not what kingship is all about. Kingship requires that the servants that are dedicated to the king, to fulfill the king's will, are united as one entity. The achdus, the unity amongst the avdei Hashem, that's the key, greatest kiyum of Malchus Hashem, of all Malchus Shamayim. If Chas V'Shalom amongst the Jewish people is Sinas Abrios, the exact opposite of Ava, then how can we stand in front of Hashem and lie and say, Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha? How can we declare that, God, you should reign over the entire universe, if we are not willing to be Mekayim, the basic element and requirement for Kiyum Malchus Shamayim, and that is the unity amongst us? And that's why in Atfilos we always speak about Yachad Kulam, Sfas Hayom Yachad Kulam Hodu V'Mlichu V'Yomru, Hashem Yimloch V'Yom Ved. It has to come Yachad Kulam. And in general, the Ava that a person has for the Brios, the Ava, especially in the case of Avas Yisrael, is connected with Avas Hashem. Hametiv im ish mi Yisrael kilu hetiv imo Yisbarach. Again, kaviyochol. It's as if when a person bestows goodness on a fellow man, it's as if he bestowed goodness on God. Ha'oev ish Yisrael ki ilu oev oso Yisbarach. The love for a Jew is a love for God. And the pasuk, the raya for this is in the parish of Melchemes Midjan. Hashem commands Moshe nekom nikmas bnei Yisrael beis hamidjanim, and Moshe comes to the people and he says, Hicholtzu mi itchem anoshim loseis nikmas Hashem b'midjan. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that b'tovosin shel Yisrael, tovosin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything for the benefit of Klal Yisrael is good for God, so to speak. We're being meitiv. Because Kvod Yisrael is Kvod Hashem. The glory of God and the glory of the people of Israel and their dignity are tied into one. And of course, the value of Avas Yisrael is something that cannot be overestimated, cannot be quantified. The Gemara says in Masechta Chagiga, and Reb Simcha Zissel likes to quote this Gemara, Bizman sh'adam mitztayer shechina maloshen omeres, kolani miroshi, kolani mizroi. Kaviyochel Hashem suffers with the suffering of Klal Yisrael. He's part of that tzar. He empathizes, he identifies. Vatiktzar nafsho ba'amel Yisrael. There was no rachvas mokom to suffer and maintain the sevel and the tzara of Amel Yisrael. And therefore we find in Asniel ben Knaz the schar that he was melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael. He spoke on behalf of the people of Israel and defended them on high. He was their defense attorney, and therefore hoysol of Ruach Hashem zochel lishpot es Yisrael arboim shana. What was the schus of Asniel ben Knaz? That he became a shofet, he was a judge in Israel for 40 years. It was the schar because he was melamed schus al klal Yisrael. Hashem turns to Gidon. This is again in Shoftim. And he says, Lech bekochecha zeh. And Chazal say, Bekoch haschus shelimadeta sanigoria al bnei Yisrael voshatas Yisrael. You, Gideon, will be chosen, handpicked, for this great opportunity, this great enterprise of successfully saving the people of Israel, because you have this chus that you are Malamit Sanigori al Kali, so you are their defense attorney. So because you were meitiv in Klal Yisrael, you were meitiv kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we begin to understand the emphasis, the centrality of Yahavto L'Recha Kamocha amongst the Tariq Mitzvahs. This is the Klal Gadol. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Lamed Aleph that Beis Hillel told this potential ger that he should study V'yahavta l'recha kumocha. The rest of the Torah is Pirusha, Zil Gemar. And this is why the Torah goes into such great detail to record the acts of Chesed of Avram Avinu and all the Avos in great detail. You take a look at the beginning of Parashas Vayera, the Hachnasas Archim of Avram Avinu in great, great detail. What the Torah wants to accomplish is to set us up in a way that we can appreciate, we can be onlookers, so to speak, spectators, to the amazing chesed of our ancestors. And this has to be lemofet, this has to be something that we identify with and we imitate, ludore doris, for all generations. This is meant to teach us about the greatness of man. And therefore the Torah goes into such long, lengthy discussions about the pulos chesed, about the various acts of chesed that were implemented. In fact, perhaps most of them are involved in these chesed, most of these statements. Torah, tchila gemilas chasodim, the Gemara says, v'sofa gemilas chasodim. Kedei lelamdenu ki midas ha'atova hi maila elyona mi'od v'zohi reishis v'tachlis ha'torah. He cannot even describe in words the significance of chesed, of pulas ha'chesed. The Torah begins with chesed and it ends with chesed. It begins with chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave clothing to Adam v'Chava. It ends with chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Bagai. And this is all to teach us that the greatest mila of a man is mila sa'atova, to give and share with others, to benefit others. And how should we arrive, how should we achieve avas abrios? There are various methods. Rav Simcha Zissel recommends that first and foremost we work about on this problem to appreciate and acknowledge its significance, and that should be on a regular basis. He offers a recommendation to study a book by Rav Moshe Cordovero called Tomer Dvora, in which the Mechaber explains that the Yud Gimel Midas of Chesed, of Rachamim, the 13 attributes, can be imitated. The Chesed of Hashem with Brios, if we understand and appreciate the Yud Gimel Midas of Chesed of Hashem, the benevolence of God, then we begin to understand the content, if you will, the substance of our requirement, our obligation of imitating God. So the more we appreciate God's chesed, the more we have the possibility of imitating God, and in our own Bein Adam LeChaver, we should pursue acts of chesed. Reb Simcha Zissel was so fond of this Tomer Dvora that he called it a book in my eyes, he said, it's Kadosh Neha V'Nechmad. And he republished it, and according to the rumor that we have, he himself, Reb Simcha Zissel, wrote an extensive introduction to the Sefer, which he calls Ha'ara, as if he's making a comment. And he recommends to his students that they should set aside time for special classes learning this book as a tachbula nocha v'kala. This is going to instill within us avas abrios. Rav Simcha Zissel also recommends that we be koveya, special places where we daven a makom kavua, and in those places we should try to be ma'or ourselves, to try to arouse ourselves and psych ourselves up, energize ourselves for avas abrios. And the very fact that we learn these svarim, like, for example, Torah Dvorah, and our machshav, our mindset, our intellect, our ability to contemplate, will be on this topic of Avas Abrios. That itself is going to have an impact. The fact that we're thinking, we're analyzing, we're learning about this Avas Abrios, it means we're getting close to implementing it. Again, it's not enough to learn it in theoretical and knowledge, but nevertheless, if we're involved and we put in hours and hours into this, then the fruits will be born. It's going to have an impact. He also suggests that we go through the stories of Chesed that are incorporated in the Torah, and we should evaluate them and understand their significance. And it means going down to the very minutiae, the details of the story. He says we should use tziurim nirchavim. It means if we need to have images, you know, etchings and of all these stories, if we need to have some sort of a picture in our mind, then all this is absolutely necessary. And all this will certainly have an impact on the soul. And now we're up to page 170. Until now, we've been more or less summarizing. Here, we're going to talk about Hergil, as you remember, training. That was Reb Simcha Zissel's big deal, you know, that we have to train ourselves to get Regilus. We have to sort of go through Imunim, you know, training session in Ava and in Avas Abrios and in Hatovel Abrios. And therefore, he points out to us that the Midos and Maisim Tovim that are connected with Avas Abrios, most people are far away from them, or they're Prutzim, they don't really follow the Halacha meticulously. For example, we're not meant to be happy at the downfall of our friend. We're not meant to build up our own glory if our friend is going through a difficult time of humiliation. We have to train ourselves not to speak pejoratively about another person. We have to train ourselves not to be an ingrate, but rather to be makabel kol adam esev upon yofos. Always receive your guests with warmth. Ligmol chesed im abrios. And so forth. We're going to learn later on about the base Talmud that he set up, you know, kind of a yeshiva. And in that base Talmud, he had a takana, he enacted various targilim, pu'ulos shonos. It was literally like a gym, like a training gym for ethics. And this would achieve the goal of getting rooted, of, I don't know, the, you know, the shoresh is the noun. I know l'sharesh means to uproot something. And we want to uproot the midos ros that come from sinas habrios, all those negative character flaws. And instead, we want to put down, you know, plant the midos of avas hachesed. And at this point, we want to discuss a concept called Nose Biol Im Chavero, which I guess you can translate into English as identifying and suffering with your friend, meaning your friend is suffering, you suffer with him. It's a certain empathy, a certain altruism. And it's called Nose Biol Im Chavero, that when his friend is carrying a burden, he joins in to help him carry that burden. This is the highest level, says Reb Simcha Zissel, of V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha. And it's very, very practical. And he brings proofs. Ki bilti efshari lavo l'argish tzar zuloso v'lisa v'ol im zuloso rak al yidei tziyurim rabim. It's impossible to feel the pain of the next one and carry with him that burden unless we have tziyurim rabim. We have to have, you know, contact and so to speak, see and behold the suffering of our friend. What happened to my friend, my Zulaso? What was the tzar that he went through? What were the Yisurim, the Machovim? And we have to realize that it's as if we're suffering with him, because Chas v'Shalom, who knows what could be down the line. That which he expects his friend to do for him is that's what his friend should be doing. You expect that if you're in a situation of tzar, if you're suffering, then someone else will feel your pain and chip in and contribute to try to help you. So what you expect from others for you is what you have to give to others as well. You have to demand from yourself, vis-a-vis your friend, what you expect from your friend to do to you. And this was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the paradigm of Nosei Bi'olim Chavero. He was in the palace of the king, of Paro's palace, and he was grown up with luxury. But then, after the Shibud Mitzrayim, it says in the Pasuk, in Shmos Perek Beis, it says, Vayetze Alechav, Vayar Bisimlo Sivloso. Rashi says, Nasan Eino Velibo Lios Meitzar Aleihem. He looked and he saw and he beheld what the suffering of the Jewish people was, and as a result, he was Meitzar Aleihem. Vayar Bisivlosom and Meitzar Be Aleihem. He suffers for them or with them. Moshe Rabbeinu is outside the tzar, he's outside the sheep, but nevertheless, he identifies, he empathizes. Hirgil es atzmo bitzir, again, this concept of tzir, that you should see it in front of your eyes. It says, vayar besuvlosam, because the power of tzir, of seeing something, is an immense power. Koch atziru ba mehiskarvus hachush, because one of the five senses gets close. Kibo hargoshas chut hamashuah, So this concept of hirgilas atzmo b'tziyurim, that the koch ha-re'iya, and sometimes you don't see it in front of you with your eyes, but you see it in the eye of your mind, so that you can feel the tsar, the pain of your fellow Jew, and then you become one with him, so to speak. That's called Nosei Bi'ol Im Chavero. He calls it the Mida Harashis, the top quality or character, Lanhogas HaKlal, to be a leader. A leader has to feel and identify with the pain of others, of the people themselves. And therefore, Bacharu Gdoli Yisraelios Roim, the leaders of Israel, the giants, were always those who were Margilas Atzma L'Rachem Alatzon. They were the shepherds that felt and identified with the suffering of their flock. Ulena'alom B'nachas U'B'chanina, and to guide them with sensitivity. Kefi Darkom Hayofalehem, each leader in his own beautiful way. And that was the teva, the nature that was developed within them, to have rachmanis al abruim, to have compassion even on creatures that aren't human, and how much more so to, of course, have rachmanis on hamadabrim, on those who are capable of speech, and how much more so on Am Segula, on the people, the chosen people. And Reb Simcha Zissel used to point out that when a person implements acts of goodness, acts of benevolence and compassion, he shouldn't do it because of a cheshbon, a mitzvah, you know, that he calculates the mitzvah itself. You know, not to say l'shem yichud and hini muchan mezuman and make a bracha before chesed, before acts of hatova and rachmanus, but rather it should come from a deep, profound sense within himself, a natural connection of simcha, of nedivus lev, of feeling and his heart should prompt to feel for others. And with that hashkafa, Reb Simcha Zissel says that the mitzvah v'haftalich kmocha, in the words of his writings, he says, Shehizhira haTorah levakish tovaso shel chavero lo machmas kfias hayetzer shel sina o levo so machmas mitzvah ki baze ein avo shalema avo yel v'sreiu kamosha oiv es atzmo. You know, you don't have to be commanded to love yourself. It's natural. It's essential. So too, to love Re'acha should not be something that's externally compelled upon you, but rather it should be from your natural sense, just like you love yourself. Kishem shekol echad oev es atzmo, lo machmas avas habriot ki im b'teva. He means when you love yourself, it's not because of some sort of mitzvah and mandate that compels you to do so, but rather it's nature, belishim cheshbonos, and you don't make calculations, belishir, it's limitless, ubeli kol matorah, and it's not for any benefit that you want to get. Velo yikre li odom lomar kfar kiyamti mitzvah svia ahavas atzmi. A person would never get to the point and say, well, I already fulfilled that mitzvah of loving myself. So too, when it comes to avas abrios, avas chavero, it should be beteva, it should be out of a sense of joy, of hana, without any limitations, and without any ulterior motives. It's got to be a natural love that flows from within. You don't have to explain it, you don't have to justify it, you don't have to calculate mitzvahs, there's no gigantic calculator, you know, a meter on top that the meter keeps clicking, how many brownie points you're getting. No, that's not relevant here. It's not the lishma here and l'shem mitzvah, and it's not mitzvah svichas kavana here. In this case, it's just the natural feeling, I love you, I love myself, and it's all one. And this value of a person, he calls it erech gadol. B'tchunas ha'odom lios bar samcha sher bazet tluya midas achrayuso v'gishoso l'chol pa'ula. He says that when the Gemara tells us in Masechta Pesachim on Daf Tes, it says she'einenu motzi tachas yodu dover she'ena mesukan, a chaver, someone who is relied upon. Why is he so reliable? Because he's doing what he thinks is right. And here too, when it comes to characteristics in the moral and ethical sphere, it's got to be someone that we can rely on. Someone who meticulously evaluates every single action that he's about to embark upon, about to implement. And the Torah says, Hein shalcha tzedek, lav shalcha yetzedek. We trust you. Everything that you say is tzedek, is emes, it's truth. And the opposite is someone called Mechusar Amona. That's already a whole sugim about Metzia Daf Memtes. Mechusar Amona is someone that you cannot rely upon. He has a chisaron in emuna. He's lacking in faith. And therefore, why did the Bezdin Mumche have to receive smicha and make him into a judge, which is called in the language of the Bible, Elohim? Again, you can say it because it's not referring to God, but rather to a judge. The Torah demands that in order to fit the bill and pass your exams and be an appropriate candidate for smicha so that you can be a judge in Israel, we demand that you have a hanhaga, a way of life and a behavior, mushlemis, that is perfect. B'midos misurasios, as far as Musar is concerned, in those dargas. So itachlas ashlemus, the ultimate perfection, kol shemishim eskarev lezeyoser, shiadvorov misukonim v'loya behem neftel, and v'ikesh v'lo motzalem behem shkia v'toz, lo mitzad atzma v'lo mitzad zuloso, zoi v'china shukarov yoser l'shlemus. That this striving for perfection, which we've been discussing for the last few weeks in Reb Simcha Zissel's frame of reference, is a level of emuna, of being relied upon, of being a bar samcha, to the extent that that you don't make mistakes. You know, you come close to perfection means you don't make mistakes. You don't make mistakes about yourself and about your zulat, about the next one. And here on page 172, Rosh v'sof l'chol ha-musarim, the greatest and most most paramount musar and ethics that we could talk about is the mid of emes, of truth, which is called chosomo, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is identified with truth. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Dalet. And kol ha-miskarev yoser la-emes, the closer we get to being dedicated to truth, miskarev yoser la-HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get closer to God. And I don't know the history here about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's relationship with the Alter from Kelm. I know that he was very close to the Alter of Slobodka, Rav Finkel. But it seems to me that it makes sense that in some way, either directly or indirectly, Rav Yaakov, in his dedication to Midas HaEmes, was a disciple of the Alter of Kelm, because from the Alter of Kelm's perspective, Emes is top. It's got primacy and priority, and it's paramount of all the midos. And he says that this mida is koleles es hakol, and it's also kashim in hakol. So the paradox is it's that one attribute that includes everything in it, but yet it's the most difficult of all attributes. Because ha'atoya mitsuya, it's very common to be misled and to convince you that you can lie and fabricate. Ha'noshim ha'rachokim idarchei musa, those who are far from the derech of musa, rachokim heimim miliparid milahafrid emes v'sheker. Those who are far away from musa, and therefore they're not trained in being methodic and being meticulous, they are very far away from emes. They're very close to sheker. They cannot differentiate between emes and sheker. The powers and the forces of evil are such that they confuse a person about what's emes and sheker. Instead of having clarity of vision, it becomes arafel, becomes really cloudy. And the ways and the methods in which the Yetzer Hara can fool us into lying and into distorting the truth are so manifold. If a person doesn't prepare himself carefully and tediously beforehand, if he gets thrust into the challenge of Emes v'Sheker before he has prepared, then he says, Yistabchu v'yistafu hata'oya ba'hata'oya v'yisrachek lumazeh harachok min ha'emes merchok rav v'yotzum ad shekamad chasholom rachok mitshuva. He says that this is a very dangerous challenge over here. The ways in which they can trick you into speaking falsehood, if you're not prepared beforehand, and if you're not careful, if you don't keep up your guard, are manifold. And it's so easy to be caught up in complications, in histabchuyot. Listabech means to get complicated, to get caught up in something that who knows where it's going to lead you. And from one hatoya, one fabrication, you lead to another fabrication. It's avera gorer avera. And he gets further and further away from the truth, and further away from tshuva. Now, in those who try to seek out the truth, which is called Mevakesh HaEmes, Rav Simcha Zissel has three categories. Number one is a person who already overcame his midos until he got to the point that it's second nature for him, and he has no tshuka for evil. Then we have category number two, is B'nei Odom HaMishtokikim L'midos Ros. Ach Sichlam Chazak Lahargish Miyad Kimida Rahi, Vihara Hi Neged Einehem Bekovshim Ritzonam Lasos Be'et Be'atzah Sichlam Hazach V'hachazak. So here we have a second category, people who by nature are pulled and allured towards evil characteristics. Their intelligence, their intellect, on the other hand, is very strong, very healthy, and immediately becomes aware of what's going on. The negative forces together can influence us, Chas V'Shalom, to the point where we have hatoya achrei hatoya, we get further and further away from truth, and further away from the possibility of tshuva. And as we said before, there are people who have this natural tendency for midos rose, but their intelligence, their intellect is operating, you know, with all eight cylinders in a very strong way, and you sense immediately that there's a midah ra that's trying to pull you in a certain direction. It's right in front of your eyes, and they overcome their will to capitulate, to fall prey to the atzas ayetz. But then he has a third category of people. These are the mavakshei ha'emes, that both their taiva and their seichel are blinding them, and they are mischazek bidaito kiatzerek ito. In other words, when we're talking about mavakshei ha'emes who are getting far away from truth, ein lomer noash, they should not give up hope. Says Reb Simcha Zissel, Yan ki bechlal hu mevakish ha'emes, v'im yovo acher, v'yivar lo to'us, v'yorena be'in yonei sichlo, yishma l'dvar, if he should seek out advice, he should realize that he might not be going with a clear vision of what's truth. And therefore he should come under the influence of those who will guide him. He says the people who are so far from emes, which is called tachlus harichuk, as far as you can get, they are interested that the will should be emes dafka, reza kamisha rotza sheba laila yia dafka yom. It's really a battle of like converting, he gives a mashal of day into night, night into day. And it's gotten to that point where they are so far from truth that it's almost an exercise of futility to try to get back on the right path, get back up on the horse. These people, eino moshchim es ritzonam el hametzius ki imelam hametzius el ritzonam. In other words, what they can't do is have their will determine what reality is, but rather, what happens is the reality that they perceive is a result of their will towards evil. And therefore they live their lives in darkness and in falsehood. When a person contemplates the Darkei Adam, he should see that most people are Moshech L'Metzius El Ritzonam. They have their will and desire for whatever pleasures they want, and they change and they rewrite the reality. And they get further and further away from truth and further away from God. And therefore these hatoyos of sheker, that fool man, and they repeat themselves, he says, kol kach asher yichaneu mamish b'shem ha'emes, they get to the point where they are so fooled and so tricked that they themselves believe that their falsehood is truth. And it's even possible that a person who's osek b'mitzvah, he seems to be involved in Kiddush Hashem, he's a holy person, and yet, in truth, he's doing an Avera Chas V'Shalom. He's sanctifying himself, and yet he's doing the opposite. Yidme, he says, Ki yishtadol harbi laharchikas atzmo, v'sachere michil Hashem. He fools himself into thinking and imagining that he's putting in effort in order to distance himself and others from chil Hashem, u'be'emes, and in truth, all of his efforts are to be marchik es achirim yichil atzmo. Now that phrase of being marchik es achirim yichil atzmo, meaning that he is really trying to protect himself, and he's first on the list, he's the epicenter of the world, and this is all part of avas atzmo, as we spoke about you last week. So Ritzona Mata Osom, their will is going to mislead them and misguide them, and they see what they perceive and claim is truth when really it's falsehood. And therefore Chazal say that our ultimate goal is Asei Ritzono Kirtzoncha. In other words, try to lead your ruts on your will towards the path of intellect, towards the path of truth, until Ritzoncha Yehafech L'Ritzon Hashem, that your will becomes identical with the will of Hashem, which is a mitzius of emes. And we need what's called zikuch hachochma v'amaisim. We have to, in a sense, purify our wisdom and our actions. They have to be clean. They have to be clean and remove all ritzonos negios ishiosos, personal desires. Kol dover tzarch lios mizukach mitzuchtzach lilo kol tarova shel sheker. Take out all mixture of lying, of falsehood. Take away and remove avas atzmo, avas hakovod, avas haratzon. If we can remove and overcome, then we have a shot. Beim lo, if he cannot do so, then it's sheker, and he calls it eino ola al shulchan malachim. It won't go on the table of kings. When we talk about Torah lishma, that's the Torah of a pure person in his midos, who is far away from the gios atzmios, from his own personal desires and pleasures. Ein ha-Torah psuka b'shamayim. We have a principle, Ein ha-Torah b'shamayim lo v'shamayim hi. Ein l'dayin al-masha ein ovroos. And all this is true if a person is sholem b'midosov, if he has eyes to see, and he understands that he's being fooled, but he maintains his clarity of vision. Im lo hishlim atzmo b'midos, hari mesalif es amitus ha-Torah. If he's not complete and full and perfect in an ideal way, as far as his character is concerned, then he's going to distort the Torah, the truth of the Torah. And therefore, im doma rav l'malach Hashem tzvokos yivakshu Torah mipiu. Only someone who's like a malach Hashem, he has perfect midos, from him you should desire to receive Torah. You should pursue him to teach you Torah. But in lav, if he's not doma l'malach Hashem tzvokos ayivakesh Torah mipiu, don't learn at the feet of such a scholar. His Torah is not Torah. And even though occasionally he'll be mechavin al emes, but that's not Torah's emes. And therefore, our avoda to get to truth is a difficult avoda. We have many barriers to overcome, but it's not impossible to overcome these barriers and find the derech, find the road, the route that will lead to that destiny, to a truth, and try to undermine, to uproot from within us all those causes of hatoya that try to mislead us into accepting falsehood as truth. And this has to be an approach that, on one level, maybe it's superficial, but hopefully it'll get deeper and deeper, more profound, and have an impact on our soul. And here at the end of this chapter, on page 174, he says the following. He says we have to really give effort and power to improve and perfect our seichel, that it should not be clouded by our ratzon, by our desires. And if a person is able to judge every situation that he finds himself in and look at all the sides and all the dimensions, and he should gather together all parts of study and dissect it well, analyze it, and then he could give a koach to his seichel to overcome and be victorious over the ratzon, to choose everything for the that's true. Choice of truth. If, however, his seichel is not developed to that point, he says it may be a slow process, but he has to strengthen his intellect. He has to null and void his rots on his will. gathered together all his analytic skills on every single challenge that he faces. Yargil atzmo lat laat lasos maisim al pi emes, and in a slow, tedious process, he gradually trains himself that all his actions should be based and reflective of truth. And at the very least, if others will guide him towards the truth, he should be open to hear what they have to say. And that's a tremendous milah. And he'll get closer to MS, and therefore closer to God. And we have to be forewarned in a very profound way that if we train our children, we have to be medagdek in their chinuch, to be mechavin to guide them on the path of L'shem Shamayim, that everything should be done for Hashem. Tov achris dover mireshiso. Tov achris dover is kshutov mireshiso. If the child will be good in the beginning of his life, that will project him and propel him for the rest of his life. And if you remember the story of Elisha ben Avuya, the Gemara says that Elisha ben Avuya went off to Derech, and he became an apikoros. He was called Acher. All this started very early in his chinuch, when he was still a baby, and the seeds were already sown in his youth for going in that direction. That his father didn't have the right kavanah in his chinuch l'shem shamayim. He was only interested in kavod, and therefore the Torah of Elisha ben Avuya never remained a kiyum haTorah. He went out l'tarbus ra'ah. And therefore, if you take a look at our generation, says Reb Simcha Zissel, and there's a yerida, we're going down, down in the ethical level, is nidaldola chachmas achinuch meitanu, because we're not putting enough effort to an ideal education in raising our children. Is therefore misragil adam laharbos avas atzmo mina urov. Instead, our children are being trained to love themselves. And that's the avas atzma that we spoke about as being the center of all evil, the hub of all evil. Bein hamechem atzma l'malacha l'maisa hamischar. It doesn't matter whether he's being trained and prepared to go into business, to take a private occupation, af mishamechem atzma l'ra, or he's preparing to be a rav and paskin shailos for the people and guide the people. Reishis kavanosam, the beginning of their training, of their upbringing, of their education, has to be l'shem shemaim, not kardom lachpor ba, not to use the Torah for one's own benefits, because then the achris will be lo tov v'chas v'shalom. And therefore, we have to be margil v'koshes tova, not Tovas Atzmo, but rather Tovas Zuloso, not Torah Sheker, but Torah Emes. And that's going to guarantee that down the line, we have produced leaders in Klal Yisrael. Bebo Eisler Abonis Lo Yisragil Lidrosh Tova Liamo, if he hasn't yet been trained to be a Dorish Tov Liamo, then he's not ready to take on Rabbonus. He's always going to be interested in being Doresh Tovas Atzmo. He's going to calculate himself and others. And therefore we have to, from Reishis Achinuch, from the very beginnings, we have to uproot any Machshav Zorah, any thought that's based on Avas Atzmo, and to have the Kavana for the sake of truth, for Kiyum Ratzon Hashem, for Tovas HaRabim. All that has to be part of the paradigms of chinuch, of education, when we raise our children. Now, we mentioned earlier that in Kelm, Reb Simcha Zissel established a Beis HaTalmud. And that was a tremendous creation on the level of education. And Reb Simcha Zissel put unlimited koiches. He was mashkia, all of his ruach, all of his das, in order to establish this institution that would become a mofet olam, that would become a flagstaff for the entire globe. And every single peg, every single stone that was part of this organization, this Beis HaTalmud, was tvua b'tvuna u'bedas. Was, shall we say, the tfuna and das, meaning the ultimate traits of wisdom and knowledge would penetrate into the very fiber of this institution and this chinuch. It'll be a chinuch, an education for emuna, for faith, for yira, for fear, for midos tovos, for the right character traits. It would be a house, a building in which we would raise people such that every action of theirs would be weighed, would be deliberate, would be kvua. Every move that they would make would be calculated. It would be a house in which, bechol pniosov, wherever you turn, what did you see, what did you sense in the very atmosphere of the air in the building, is atzilus tiferes v'hadras kodesh, the beautiful splendor and glory of sanctity. Bayis asher bechol pinosov mimusad mimased ad hatafchus. Again, I don't know what the word tafchus here means, but nezel menital shel tchia v'storov v'anagosov mitchilas doruch ala miftan hachotzer ad hakodosh pnima. Again, very poetic words from one of the Talmidim, Reb Simcha Zissel, in a private letter, Reb Tzion Karnitz. And basically he's describing a house that as soon as you entered in, you cross over the threshold, you would find yourself in an atmosphere, he calls it Tal Shel Tchia, everything is Mesudar. You would see the Hanhogos of a true great leader from the very moment that you crossed the threshold until you went into the inner sanctum of sanctity. And you walked into the Beis HaTalmud, you felt like you were being transported into a different world, a world that's full of machshava, of thought, contemplation, of hatova, of bestowing goodness, a world that's menucha and shalva, of calm, a sense of security, oneg ruchni, an emphasis on spiritual pleasures. And in the Musar circles, they would say over that once there was a kenes of rectorim of German universities, and the purpose of this get together was to determine which disciplines amongst the science disciplines should be divided up into various faculties and so forth and so on. One of the professors got up and he said, I have a scientific discipline and yesh miktsa madei echad shalomdu bo so rak b'machon yechidi ba'olham b'yokach usit ktana b'shem kelm v'hu tikun midos ha'odom. So one of the professors actually knew about the Beis HaTalmud of Kelm. And he said that there they know one discipline, and that's Tikkun Midos HaAdam. And they've created an institution that is unique in the entire globe, in a small Russian town called Kelm. And that's Tikkun Midos HaAdam. And in Kelm, this Beis HaTalmud is called Talmud Torah. It became first and foremost a yeshiva, where young scholars, budding scholars, would dedicate themselves to the study of Torah with a tremendous amount of dedication, of shkida rabba, his amkus, to understand the Torah on a deep level. And for most of the students, this was the most perfect, ideal period of their lives. When they came back from Kelm to wherever they went to, they were considered amongst the great Avrechim, the young scholars, and many of them, of course, most of them got married, sometimes at a more mature age, and they came into the Beis HaTalmud to absorb the elements of Beis HaKatorah, of Menucha. But the most important, perhaps, agenda or goal of this institution was self-perfection, Hishtalmut Ishit. And towards that goal, there would be a tremendous amount of effort, unique effort, an awful lot of energy that was spent. Everything that went on in this institution was directed towards this purpose. It became a base medrash of spiritual ascendance, you know, to climb the spiritual lattice. That's the purpose of this yeshiva. And therefore, there was a tremendous emphasis on the requirement of Bechiras Chomer HaTalmidim. What materials would the Talmidim be studying in this yeshiva? And those were Bnei Maila, B'mila, B'midas, B'midos, U'B'nimusim, and then Mukhsharim L'Aliyah. These were students that really had the great capacity to go higher and higher. And if you wanted to get accepted to this Talmud, to this Beis HaTalmud, you had to be subject to a Bikores, you sowed this to a, like an examination, a very fundamental examination, an interrogation almost. And not everyone was accepted into this yeshiva. For the most part, they would be accepted based on recommendations that came from the Menalim, you know, the principles, so to speak, of other yeshivas that were dedicated to Musar. And not only that, if you wanted to come into the Beis HaTalmud on a temporary basis, just for example, to daven there or to learn there, to listen and to a shmooze, a Musar shmooze, you would have to get special permission. There was a Kpeida Chamura. You just couldn't walk in and drop by as, you know, as a guest. Oh, I'm here to hear a shmooze. Sometimes Rishus was granted, and sometimes only for one thing, but not for something else, or for one person on one occasion, not for something else, sometimes with Shabbos, but not for the weekday. There was this whole selection here. The whole structure of the building was a tzura and a chatzer of segura, you know, it was like closed on all sides. I think on the, if I'm not mistaken, here you have a picture of it. Well, 1 second, which one is Kelm? Yeah, there it is. It's a beautiful structure. I mean, you could see on the left side, you'll see it. And when you saw the structure, you already immediately felt that it was a private, definitely a private property, and not everyone could go in just because they wanted to go in. You came into this building and you felt, you sensed that you were in a very special place, where Yiras HaKavod, where the fear of glory and Hadras Kodesh and the beauty and the fear of sanctity was suffused in the atmosphere, and that this was a place where many people who came in, who were accepted, would have sdarim kvuim. And we're going to see later on in Mirtz Hashem some of the stories about that, of sdarim kvuim. You had to behave in a certain way in that yeshiva. And everything was built on kvius, on establishing something kavua, something that's set. It's not haphazard. It's got a constancy and a continuity to it. And here's an institution that was dedicated to hishtalmus, as we said before, to perfect one's character. And this would express itself in the way you would train your mind to think, in the way you would rectify flaws within your personality, in all areas of Aliyas Adam, of man climbing up the ladder. Reb Simcha Zissel brought to this institution the Gilui, the revelation of all. He revealed in a very tangible way all of the fundamentals of his sheet, of his worldview on what Musar is all about, all that he inherited from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, V'gishem osa, he would realize this ideology b'chaye habayis hazeh, within the walls of this institution. And the center, the hub, so to speak, the point in the middle that was so critical was the study of Musar. Whether it was the study of Musar as iyun and as shinun, which means both to dissect it and analyze and to review it in the dissection, in the iyun, the analysis section, everyone would learn by themselves, but the shinun, for the review, they set up certain zmanim b'seder hamusar, like an hour a day before Ma'ariv, towards the evening, and there they would all do this simultaneously, learning together b'slavus, with a tremendous amount of passion, so'eres. Right, we spoke about that when we spoke about Rabbi Yisrael, that every dibur should be with a passion, with an excitement, bekol, with a certain loud voice, and the echoes of these voices could be heard at a great distance. But at the same time, they were very careful from hitpartsuyot, from outbursts, which were chitzonios, which were not real and genuine. For example, they would be careful about the way their body would move, not jumping around. Of course, everything had to be deliberate and calculated. And the pnim and the chutz, everything, the inside and the outside, a certain eslavus ha-nefesh, a certain lahatus of regoshos, a very passionate emotional experience, with all the tokef of saras halimun hazeh, but at the same time, with self-discipline. And Rav Simcha Zissel, bibakro bi'etzem lahata, adayin lo motzaba es shir hislavas adorush, he says if he would come and investigate what was going on, and he was not happy, felt that the level of hislavas that was necessary was missing, He would critique. He would be moter bikoros, as we say. He would criticize the mida, that lower level, the too low level of chamimus, of warmth, and he would say it's not enough. And in one case, the story is told that he came to visit the yeshiva, and he expressed his amazement. His disappointment. Ha'im kach mesiachasim legazlon. In other words, the yetzer of a person is like a gazlan. He's like a thief. That's the evil within man. And he tries to steal from him everything that's holy and kodesh. We spoke about this recently when we spoke about Purim and Amalek and Haman. In any event, yesh ledaber ito b'tkifus rabba. If you're having a discussion with this gazlan and you want to put him in his place, you have to speak to him with tkifus, with a certain power, a certain strength. You may have to yell Hamas, this guy is stealing. So you need a za'aka, a crying out, when you jump on top of the gazlan and you try to pin him down. And therefore our daily limud should be besara, meaning with like a stormy emotion. And that will help us purify our hearts and clean them up and to create a drichut, almost a certain intense anxiety, almost, so to speak, of metichus. How do you say metach in English? It's a tension and intensity of nefesh, of the soul, on a constant basis. As you take one step after the other, and you're running towards this agenda, this goal of zikuch, of cleansing yourself, of isalus, of uplifting yourself in a spiritual way. And Reb Simcha Zissel, in his Shmuzim, would describe a program of the study of Musar, and that had a tremendous impact on those who heard these Shmuzim. He would demand that in his Musar Shmuzim, which were quite long sometimes, possibly going on even for 2 or 3 hours, and the subject of these Shmuzim were, you know, no se asichos kaela kama pa'ame v'yom. I'm not sure if he would repeat the same theme many times in order to make sure it was hakdarayin, you know, would go inside on Shabbos. He would lecture three times. He would give a lecture on Friday night between Kabbal Shabbos and Ma'ariv, in the morning at Tefillah Shachris, and also in the afternoon Bein HaShmoshos. And the Talmidim would listen with a tremendous tshuka. They would never say ravli, okay, it's enough. And these shmuzim were mostly analytic. They were full of content, full of ideas that were profound in all areas of machshav, of thought, of chakiras, of kochos ha-nefesh, to try to understand the inner mechanism of man. In that sense, Reb Simcha Zissel, is very much a Talmud of the great psychologist, as we call him, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, his Rebbe. And here we're on page 178. And again, more about this Orus and this Lavus of the study of Musar, the Shmuzim, and the Sheet of Rav Simcha Zissel in that yeshiva called Beis HaTalmud in Kelm, about the months of El, about the Yom Noron, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and what went on in the yeshiva. And Bali Nether will pick this up next week. So we're going to stop here, make a note of it on the top of page 178.